May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
In our Sunday readings from the Gospel, we often hear the most wonderful and remarkable testimonies about our Lord Jesus. Many of these experiences of the disciples with Jesus are quite remote from our experiences today. Miracles, healing, even walking on water, a glorified appearance, demons being cast out. What have they to do with our lives today? If these testimonies seem remote from our daily life, how can we call ourselves followers of Jesus? How can we follow someone who sometimes seems to come from another planet? Shouldn't the things that Jesus does apply to our lives some way or another? I think we wouldn't be here if they did not. At some deep level, the miracles of Jesus do connect to our lives, even today. We can recognize many things. For instance, the reactions of the disciples to everything that surprises them. Those disciples were very human, so there is a lot for us to connect with. So sometimes we can truly sense a connection with the gospel to our lives. So if Jesus calls us to follow him, to imitate him, literally, to do the things that he did, what does that mean? Does that mean that we should cast out demons and heal the sick just as he did? Well, maybe in an indirect way, but perhaps even in a direct way, at least sometimes. What do I mean with that? In a direct way. A colleague in the ministry wrote to me about an experience, and I will read it to you. He wrote, "There was an old widow who became very dear to me since her husband died, but then she got cancer, which inflicted her brain. Being stuck in the bed she would eventually die in, she became convinced that because of her so-called sinful past, the whole world itself would be condemned, an insufferable burden. Because of my affection to her and because I got really angry that she had to bear this unbearable agony, I took her hands into my hands and shouted, to my own surprise, 'Devil, go out of her.' I didn't notice anything at that moment. But the next day, one of her children called me and said, 'Mother is perfectly calm and lucid. It is a mystery what had happened.'" The colleague concludes, "I have only experienced things like this a few times in my life. In moments of anger and of consciousness of God's own creative force, which I could pass on. But usually, I am a rather timid person." What strikes me about this event and how my colleague describes it is that what happened, he describes it as something relatively normal, something which could happen to any of us. Which shows that what the Gospel describes is often less remote from human experience than we might think. That is what I mean when I say sometimes the Gospel applies to our life in a direct way, surprisingly. Obviously, following Jesus can occur in many different ways. Each person who works in a caring profession, for instance, and does that with Christian commitment, follows Jesus. Each moment, we give our time and energy to someone else. Each time we are creative or support righteousness, we follow Jesus. We are called in different ways. But if it is a true vocation, it means that you stick your neck out. Responding to a calling or vocation is usually a challenge. To do something which makes us vulnerable and exposes us to some element of personal risk, even simply the risk of appearing foolish. So following Jesus is always risky. It demands faith. It demands a decision. Sometimes it demands a large decision. Like a co-student from my year group who now works for the people of the favelas in South America. But it can be a smaller decision, like making contact with someone who lives in our street. Each time we feel called to follow Jesus, we can ask, why should I do it? Each time we have the chance to live the gospel, we can doubt if we really should. Why take this risk? And the answer to that question can be very diverse, just as we are. We heard St. Paul say, I cannot resist it. I am compelled to do it. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. That is how strong a vocation can be. That you are sure that it cannot be different. Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise, as Martin Luther said. But that is not always so. Also in the Bible, for instance, we know of Moses who said, sorry, I cannot speak well in public. And we know of Jonah who was called to go to Nineveh. Well, he didn't hesitate. He took the next boat in the opposite direction. Even if we are not that stubborn as Jonah, we sometimes need a while until we are confident about what the direction of our life should be. But the most important is that we do not give up asking that question. Now I turn back to the gospel, which tells us two things about vocation in a sort of hidden way. We heard this short report of the healing of the mother-in-law of Peter. This mother-in-law has a fever. Well, a fever is not a disease in itself. Fever is a symptom. But a symptom of what? We do not read it. It doesn't tell. But if we read with empathy, we can imagine what could have been wrong with her. What the story behind this story might be. Because her daughter was married to Peter. And if I imagine that one of my daughters was married to a fisherman who suddenly gives up his trade to follow a wandering rabbi, I wouldn't know what to do. I would be deeply concerned. If I wouldn't get a fever, I would probably get a splitting headache. I would be stressed from within. And that is something that only Jesus can take away from her. Peter must have felt his responsibility and he must have doubted if he could go with Jesus. But Jesus is wise enough to visit Peter's home and check the situation there. Something else today's gospel shows is that not every need we are confronted with is something we are called to solve. Everybody is looking for you, Jesus is told. But then he doesn't react to that. Instead, he goes to the surrounding villages. This makes it clear that following a vocation is an act of freedom. It's a real choice. Jesus himself appears to be a very free man. No one tells him what to do. He makes all his choices himself. His vocation comes from within. It is real. That is also the reason why he can heal Peter's mother-in-law. When she sees Jesus, when she recognizes his authentic vocation, she can also accept that Peter's calling to go with Jesus is real and can't be ignored. So it is as if Jesus isn't only fighting demons, but he's also fighting the voices in people's heads that keep saying, yes, but, yes, but, yes, we like you, but we cannot accept that you are a healer. Yes, I want to follow you, but you can't expect me to give up everything. Not that we shouldn't think before we decide upon what our calling is. But there comes a point when we should stop saying, yes, but, and only say, yes. And then it will apply. And with that I conclude, it applies what Isaiah says and what we have heard. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen.